Support for the homemade broadcast on Sunshine 96.7 FM WMTB comes from Truvy Salon and Spa in St. Petersburg. Located at 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, Truvy Salon and Spa offers hair care products and salon services by appointment only. Find out more about Truvy Salon and Spa at their website, TruvySalonAndSpa.com.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
Yeah, that was loud today. So I don't know, I've had a few of these days. I don't know what the deal is, so I gotta try to figure this out. I said my throat's more tired than my arm. Imagine that.
We went through this during the summer.
Same thing, I know. It came back. I know. Very strange. Something must be a little up. I know. I can't explain it. So
let me see.
Yeah.
Mom,
I'm on it.
Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioSaintPete.com.
RadioSaintPete.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
Hi. First time listener, first time caller. This message is for Will. Screw you, ass. Eat cum and fry ice.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
This is Mayor Rick Kreisman, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2,
it is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com, Sunshine 96.7 FM, downtown St. Petersburg. Welcome back to the program. I'm Will. This is Anna. Oh, wait. There you go.
Hello. Hi.
Hey. How's it going, bro? Yeah, I know.
Don't refer to me like that again. I'm okay. I'm, you know, a little tired at the end of the week, but I'm getting it done.
I know. We got to figure new things out. I want to bring up my circumstances. People are asking me about it, and I'm probably not supposed to say much of anything right now, but by the time this comes out,
what are they gonna do, cut your hours or something?
Yeah. Hey, who's to say? But I wanted to talk about this first. I know you're a big sports person.
I love the sports.
And by the way, you can get in touch with us at 813-693-2124, home_made_man, and Anna Hummel Radio. And I feel like before we get started, this program is free. I should mention that. It is totally free. But
shake them down, Will. Shake them down.
I would just like to make you aware that if you go on to hmbradio.com, there's a donate section there. I do take time out of my day. Anna takes time out of her day. And if you would like to donate during these tough times, if you send it to my Venmo, I'll send Anna half. And you could just do that. You don't have to. But I'm just telling, and I'll explain more of why that's the case a little later. But first, beginning of the show there, the clip that I play, I change it every week. It's one Mr. Tom Brady. I don't know
who?
If you ever heard of him. Tom Brady?
The guy?
The greatest.
Baseball player.
No, football player of all time. He's the current quarterback for our Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He doesn't sound so good. He sounds like he's ill, like he's come down with an upper respiratory infection of some kind. Obviously, we're in a pandemic, an endemic right now of this disease called COVID-19, caused by the SARS-CoV-2 virus. Are these things related? I don't know. All I know is that Tom Brady is due this Sunday. This podcast releases on Sunday on Radio St. Pete, so the game might be happening right now when you're listening to it. Maybe it already happened. But Tom Brady is going home. He's going back to New England. He's going
Gillette Stadium?
Into Gillette Stadium. Well done.
How did I know that?
I don't know. How did you know that?
We covered it on the morning show.
Ah, I see. So he's going back home to New England to face his former coach, where he won 6 Super Bowls, I believe.
I believe 6 because he just won the 7th one.
Bill Belichick.
Billy boy.
Bill, old Bilbo, yeah. Billy Check. He is, they're facing the opposite sideline. I don't know if you saw the video.
Yeah, of Adele.
Of Adele. Oh, yeah. I got a little bit of a tingle. I'm Me not going to lie.
I got half chub, and I don't even like sports, and I got half chub.
It is the game of the year.
Really?
This game is the game of the year.
Because I didn't know, I said to Bubba when he mentioned this, I'm like, didn't they play last year? He goes, no.
No.
They did not
they
play.
They did not. It's unusual.
Every team plays every team every year.
There's only 17 games and there's 30-something teams.
Okay, right. So, okay. Yeah. So and then at the playoffs, obviously some teams get, you know, knocked out. So.
And 8 of those games typically are against division foes. So it's broken down. So we play the Saints twice. We play the Carolina Panthers twice, and we play...
We're all in the AFC.
NFC South.
NFC South.
And the Atlanta Falcons twice. So I guess 6 of those games are dedicated to division opponents.
Yes.
So no, it's unusual, especially that you would play out of conference, which the New England Patriots are in the AFC division, Buccaneers are in the NFC. Typically, or well, every time, the AFC plays the NFC in the Super Bowl.
Right.
That's how that kind of came to be.
Yeah, you're like the AFC champ and the NFC, whatever you said, champ, and then they play each other.
That's right.
Now, because from one sports fan to another,
mm-hmm.
how do you think the reaction will be from the New England, the Patriots fans, when Tom Brady enters the stadium?
I think he's going to enter Gillette Stadium to enormous ear drum popping applause.
From both sides.
From the fans of New England, I'm sure the fans will be overwhelmingly Patriot fans. I would say 80-20, if not 90-10.
So they love their Patriots. You don't think that they would boo him for leaving their team?
No. I've seen so many fat ladies down here wearing half Patriot, half Buck, which I hate. I hate those jerseys more than anything.
They're just Tom Brady marks.
They're just Tom Brady, yeah. They're just fans. He's hot. And, you know, they like sports. I like football, they say. They don't. But they like to pretend they do. And they're fans of Tom Brady. You know, we have a lot of people that transfer down here that live in the Northeast.
That is
And then
true,
they live down here now. So they're just fans of Brady, and they have the half-and-half jersey. I think he's going to walk into that stadium to enormous applause, and it's going to be a great game. However, as I was talking about, he's not well. I think he has COVID. I think Tom Brady is sick with COVID right now. And I think that they're going to let him play anyway. I don't think they're going to allow him to be out with COVID this game. There's too much money on the line for the NFL.
The whole story of him returning.
It's the storyline of this season.
Really?
Now, obviously, maybe not the biggest game. It's the biggest game of the regular season.
Okay.
Obviously, the Super Bowl is going to be the game of the year.
Of course. Listen, I know football. Yes. The Super Bowl's big. Yeah, I get it. But this has the story behind it where he played for, 17, 18 years with New England.
Yeah.
And then he, you know, starts playing for the Bucs. And it was this whole, again, I'd loosely pay attention because I had to. But wasn't it this whole sort of, is it Belichick? Is it Brady? Who really made whom? Sort of a thing. So
Correct.
Then with the separation and Brady wins the Super Bowl, it's like, okay, it really was the talent of Tom Brady that carried that team instead of the coaching of Bill Belichick. Although both contributed, it seems like Tom Brady's talent and leadership was really the thing that kind of brought them the all of those championship wins for so long.
But it certainly seems that way. Now, I will say that Tom Brady walked into a terrific situation with the team that he has here in Tampa. I'm sure that was a big part of the reason why he picked the Buccaneers. It was just one thing was missing from that team, and that was a quarterback.
Because Jameis sucked.
He wasn't great for us. He was very good sometimes. Really bad.
Very unpredictable.
Very, right? Very bad a lot of the other times.
But all the other players were like in line, right? In terms of, there were a lot of, quote, weapons. I hear that being used a lot. But a lot of people followed him, like Gronk, and then we got Antonio Brown, and I heard Richard Sherman just came out of retirement. So
he's a free agent, but yeah.
Okay, close enough. Roll with me. Roll with me, baby.
Yep, you got it.
That's great. That's great.
It is great, and I just have a feeling, and just his hesitancy when he was talking about, he's like, yeah, I don't know what's going on. I can't explain it. I don't know. He wanted to get off the subject, but I think they probably told him, because there's very strict COVID protocols still going on in sports right now.
Yeah, but not for Tom Brady.
I just have a feeling that if it was another week, that they might be like, yeah, you got COVID, you got to sit out. Antonio Brown had to sit out the previous week because he was exposed to COVID.
I thought he had COVID.
I don't think he necessarily tested positive. He had to have a certain test done to have two negative tests like 24 hours before the game, and he didn't get it. There wasn't enough time or something, so he had to sit out. I don't know if he tested positive because it seems like that was only a week, and I think you have to be out 10 days if you have COVID, right? Unless they changed it, I don't know.
Or I have a test negative or something.
I think that he has COVID and he will play in this game. And he's probably just got a scratchy throat and doesn't feel great. You know, he's like a coronavirus. He has a coronavirus.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel good,
well,
but he's in...
Well, cold's a coronavirus.
He's... Exactly.
Yeah.
But he's in great shape. Supposedly he's vaccinated. Buccaneers said they have 100% vaccination rate. So, I think they're just like, oh, you gotta get out there. There's too much on the line for him to sit out this game.
You don't test.
There you go. Now, I don't know if they have a thing where you have to test, but I would imagine you could just swipe somebody else's nose and say that it's Tom Brady's.
Instead of urine, you know, for drugs, it's like, can I get some of your nasopharynx juice?
Yeah. Yeah. I need you to sneeze in this for me. Yeah. I think that's going to happen. I guarantee, here's my prediction, that they're going to have some sort of COVID outbreak for the Patriots next week. And the Bucks will have some guys, too, that need to quarantine.
You're right. Maybe it's going to happen.
But we'll there's see. Just too much. He cannot miss this game.
Dude, I don't like sports at all. I find it incredibly boring, and I don't care. I'm excited for this game.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
And
yeah.
Also, I think Robert Kraft was talking smack about Bill Belichick. Yep. I don't know if you heard about that.
He's a pain in his butt.
Right.
Biggest A-wipe.
So
there is.
I feel like Bill Belichick's not going to be in a good mood, and Tom Brady. I just want to see some ass being whooped. You know.
Yeah,
I'm also curious to see the fans' reaction as well, because I still think it's odd. Because I would think that if I was a New England fan, I would feel betrayed by Tom Brady. So then that would make me not like him.
Well, there is some speculation that New England didn't want him back too. So a lot of people think that they didn't want him back. So they can't really be mad at him if they said you can move on. But I've also seen some things come out this week that they wanted to sign him to like a 2-year deal and he wanted to go play somewhere else. He just had enough of
how they ran things.
He had enough of Bill Belichick, essentially, the really? Patriot way. And, you know, that
they
type
just
of
run it more of a militant way or.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
not as fun,
great, right?
Well, potentially. I mean, Tom Brady came down here to Tampa and won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, I may have something to do with it. It could be a nature versus nurture type of scenario.
And was that all Bill Belichick's just way of doing things? It's just a very militant sort of.
Yeah, way. It's not a lot of fun. Like you see Tom now, he actually kind of has a personality, even though I think he's a little robotic. It almost seems like he's programmed with some of this stuff. I don't know.
It's like. I know exactly what you're talking about, because I think it was a Wall Street Journal did like a one-on with Tom, and they asked him like these kind of like underhand questions, softball questions.
Yeah.
And it's like they programmed be relatable, and they're like, what's one habit you wish you could break? He's like, you know, when you're on Instagram, you keep scrolling. I hate when I do that. And you're like,
I did that.
I'm like Tom Brady. That's crazy.
We're basically the same. Tom Brady and I can't believe it. Yeah, I don't know. Something he feels a little stiff to me, but he's much more fun. He seems like he's enjoying his life. Not that he wasn't enjoying his life in New England, but he's allowed to do ads and he's allowed to
and there's
be
no
fun.
Snow here, and he lives in Tampa.
Yeah, so he seems to be enjoying himself, and I'm so glad that we have him now. Also, another reason I think it's very important for him to play is because he is 60 yards away, passing yards.
Let me tell you what it is. Mm-hmm. 68 yards away from beating Drew Brees' record.
Yeah.
Of having
did
the
you
most
say Drew Brees?
Drew. Okay. Sorry, I slurred by accident.
Yeah.
Drew Brees' record of most passed yards. Passing
correct.
Yards.
Yeah.
Yards that were passed.
That's it.
Okay.
Very good.
It's about a little over 80,000 and... Wait, that's all I know, actually.
Oh, that's good enough.
In the regular season.
Yeah. Well done. I see. This is why I wanted to talk to you about this, because you're the sports person.
I'm a sports girl.
So good. And I just think it's too important to the league. This will be something that will be in a museum. It will be shown on NFL films. The greatest quarterback of all time breaking the record in New England with his new team. It's just, it has so many storylines. He cannot miss this game.
COVID, no COVID, baby. You're playing.
But he has COVID. I'm almost certain of it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I was trying to follow some of the Bucks reporters to see if he was out there practicing or maybe he was away a little bit from the team outside, mm-hmm. maybe kind of in his own little bubble, if you will. But yeah, I think Tom Brady has COVID and I think he will play. And my prediction is, and we'll see if I'm right next week, that some players are going to come down with COVID and go on the COVID list after this game in New England.
One can only hope. We'll find out.
813-693-2124 hmbradio.com hmbradio.com/donate. Why do I bring that up? Okay, so I may have had a few drinks last night when I'm recording this on September 30th. I don't like saying that because I feel like it breaks the third wall or the fourth wall a little bit when you tell people when you're recording this. Right. But
you're being transparent.
We had our last Johnny and I had our last. Well, no, that's not true. Really, we were off Thursday and Friday. We covered for Mike Calta in the morning. So it was our last opportunity to tell people about our audience anyways. We were told that we could promote it on the morning show, but we have new hours. Essentially, Johnny and I got our hours cut in half at CMG. So that puts a big dent in, obviously, the show is if it's a three-hour show, so you do that times five, that's 15 hours of just showtime alone. Now we're only allowed to put in 14 hours a week. Mm-hmm. Company-wide cut. We talked about it last week. You know, there were some layoffs over there. The early morning guy and SBK were fired or terminated, I guess is the better word.
Sounds like they were murdered.
Yeah. But their jobs were terminated because of, I guess it's a business decision.
And budgets, yeah.
And budgets. Now, I wonder if, I'm sure that upper management is probably getting paid the same amount, but they need to shake the pockets of their, you know, lower employees. But it's almost a good thing being so underpaid and so not thought about that you kind of can duck below the bullets. You know what I mean?
I know exactly
the theoretical bullets where they're
because
flying over my head.
It's such a pittance that you're not even putting a hole in anybody's pocket.
Yes, right. So instead what they did was just, you know, trim the part-timers, which I am there and Johnny is. It's insane that we are part-time, that we have a radio show that we do for 3 hours a night, 5 days a week, and we are working part-time. So they don't have to pay us benefits. They can pay us an hourly wage. And that's just the way it is now. That's the radio industry.
And I don't think that, you know, I always like to say this when I'm complaining about something is I'm still making the choice to stay.
Yeah.
You're not being forced to work here. You enjoy it. You want to do it. It sucks because you love it so much and you can't walk away from it. But also it sucks because you can't really make a living from it. So
you can, but you not obviously not at 9 o'clock.
Well,
at night.
We're not. Well, I mean, like, or you understand what I'm saying?
I do. I do understand.
I'm making it happen, but it's still a struggle, you know. So
yeah, it really is, and it sucks, and it's a big, you know. I had just asked for a raise at my job a few weeks before because when I started at the company I'm at now, they offer me $10 an hour to work in the promotions. Promotions is where you go set up the tents, you talk to people, you banners, hand out, yeah, you hang banners,
t-shirts,
yeah, you give away t-shirts and talk to people and take pictures. And I started $10 an hour. Then you and I expressed my want to be on air, and I got the opportunity with you when we were doing Stay Woke there for that 1 hour a night.
And yeah, I would morning radio we were doing.
Morning radio, right? And then, you know, your situation happened where you were gone, so I kind of just stepped into your role on a Johnny B show, and none of the other seats were filled because they're trying to make budgetary cuts.
So you essentially took over my job, continued with what you were doing.
Yes.
And didn't make any increase.
And was not compensated for that. And I had asked when you were gone, I said that, ooh, that whole thing, that I'm doing her job and my job now, I should have a raise. Right. And they said, I can't do it right now.
He goes, you should have a raise, but you're not getting one.
Yes. And then when I had a meeting with him a few weeks ago, I asked to talk to him, and I told him the same thing. And, you know, even Johnny would tell you that I do 80-90% of the work on that show. Behind the scenes stuff, I do all the production stuff, loading. There's this thing called carts that you have to load with audio. So when a replay is playing, it plays from that cart. It's just a placeholder for a computer file. And then, but you have to edit those. You have to load them in a sure. certain way. I take care of
the prep,
all the news I find. And Johnny reads it, but I find it.
Let it out, Will.
Co-hosting a show, you know, doing a lot of talking on the show as well. All of the automation I take care of. So there's just a lot of things that I do. And, you know, we're the go-to fill-in people for the morning show now. Nobody else does it. I don't know if it's because nobody else wants to do it, and we're the only people dumb enough to do it. But I take it as an honor, you know, that they trust us with that prime real estate.
Time. It really is.
And we did get good news that when they were gone for an extended period of time, and we filled in for a few days, that they didn't lose any ratings from that. So that made me feel really good, too. That gave me the balls, I guess, to go ask again for some sort of pay increase from that.
What was the time between those two asks?
Oh, a year.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a few months.
No, a year.
Okay.
My boss over there agreed that I was severely underpaid, and he would work to try to remedy that.
Okay.
And I don't know what that meant, but it was going to be something. So I was like, okay, good. It sounds like something's going to happen. The next week after that, I got the phone call that my hours were getting cut in half, and it's bad news.
Didn't you think that? Did you at first think like, "Ooh, my boss is calling me. I think I'm getting that raise."
That's what I thought. I thought he
That's
was going to say.
Worst.
I thought it was good news, and I thought he was going to say, "Well, great news. I was able to get you so this much," and I was probably going to be like, "Well, that's something. Thank you," and you know. And then move on from there. But instead, it was notification that some layoffs were made. And then my eyebrows peaked up a little bit, and I thought, oh, this might be good for me.
Yeah.
And then the following words came out of his mouth, which, it's not good news for you either. So I was like, okay. I kind of just assumed that we'd be jumping into that 6 o'clock spot. And we found out that, no, they were slashing hours across the board. There was budgetary things that were happening. So it sucks. So essentially, we are going to be doing 8 to 10 p.m., so an hour of our show is gone. And, I mean, the whole late night aspect of that station, which was something that was really cool, that they had 18 hours of live programming a night, is just gone now. I mean, it's gutted. I mean, that gets taken down. It's still a lot, you know, from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. at night.
It used to be what? It used to be 20 hours.
Yeah, right.
So we would end at 1 and Slater would start at 5 a.m.
Yes, that's right. That's right. So supposedly, from what I hear, this is not necessarily for good, that things may change. But I have a job interview in Tulsa. And so I don't know what's going to happen with that. You know, I'm looking, and it was tough to hear. I don't think John Brennan, the program director, I don't want people to be mad at him because this isn't his call. John is, you know, started in as a producer on the Cowhead show. Mm-hmm. He understands the deal. He's a suit now, But, you know, if it were up to him, I think that he would, I'm sure, do everything that he could for us. This is something that came up from the CEO type of thing. So it's not John's fault, and nobody should be mad about, you know, at him for this. It wasn't his call.
He's just the messenger.
He's the messenger. It does come down to him because he's the program director. So he's kind of the one that's going to get the brunt of this whole thing. But it's not really fair to him. And like I said, hopefully it's not a permanent thing. I don't know what's going to happen with that job interview. I might be in Tulsa next week. Who knows? I hope not. I really want to stick it out and make it work here. I'm from here. I want so bad to be successful here.
Yeah.
But I also understand that in this business is just, it's gasping for air. Yeah. And much like I talk about with the president and government, that you like to think that the most suitable people, the most charismatic people, the people for the job are in these positions. And you find out that that's just not the case. Mm-hmm. Not to say that that's not the case at the company I work at. I don't know. But I even listened to a show in another market, a morning show in Austin, Texas. Big market. Not as big as Tampa, but a city that's a big city.
What's
bigger
the
city.
Morning show there?
I don't even want to say it out. Right. Honestly, I don't remember. I can show it to you. I can look it up. But I was appalled.
How bad it was?
How bad it was.
It's terrible.
People do not know how lucky they are to have the bone here in town.
Yeah.
Because I tried to make sure that I wasn't being like biased in that opinion, because it's like, oh, I could do this job way better.
Right.
Knowing that I do think that.
Yeah.
But I was trying to watch it with just clean eyes, and I'm sitting there going, no wonder this industry is gasping for air with the talent in quotes that they have on it.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, I also feel like radio is completely transformed. Like, you're not, I know Howard's still on, but there's no more Howard Stern type crazy Bubba the Love Sponge type antics. I mean, Bubba has had to evolve incredibly over the last several years just because of the way things are changing. And we're lucky enough to have the ability to kind of speak freely on stuff. But most morning shows, it's like zoo hour, tookie tookie, like cheese ball, BS, beer and hot wings. What are we giving them away? Like super scripted. I don't know how people can tolerate that or want to listen to that. But I don't know.
Listen,
it's predictable stuff.
I don't even know if I'm allowed to say this, but I don't see why not. It's not like you couldn't look it up online, but there's, you know, if you look at Hot 101.5 or something in the morning, Miguel and Holly are a great team, Scott. But all that crap that they do, the blown off, that's all scripted stuff.
Uh-huh.
That's all stuff that they have a writing team in New York or Atlanta, wherever they're based. They have a comedy writers, and they send it to all their markets.
Yeah.
So that bit is played in every single Hot 101.5 market like that.
Like a top 40 type thing. Here's the thing, though, and it was funny because this is actually what came to my mind when I was talking about like Tookie Tookie sort of like cheeseball stuff. I listen to Holly and Miguel every morning,
yeah,
and I love it.
Yeah.
And I love it because it's like, and they even talk about it. They talk about the escapism, right? So every once in a while, like a tragedy will strike and you'll get some real emotion out of Miguel or Holly. You know, a few times I think Miguel had a friend that passed away or his grandmother passed away or something. And he was real for like a segment, but you can hear him snap himself out of it and get back into, I don't want to say into character, but he has to be kind of an exaggerated, you know, always happy version of himself.
Yeah.
Because people want that escapism. I realize I needed and wanted that. I want to think that like when I'm hanging out with Holly and Miguel, obviously I'm not, but you know, when I'm hanging out with them in my car, that their lives are perfect and the biggest worries they have are like, what are they going to be for Halloween? You know, something like that, where clearly that's not their biggest issues and they are real people with real problems, but it's nice not to hear them. It's
sure.
Really nice to live in a universe where, you know, the biggest issue is like, what is Scott gonna, you know, play at the wedding he's DJing this weekend? Like, what song should, like, those are the sorts of problems they bring to the table. I know it's inauthentic. I know it's not real. I know it's escapism, and I effing love it. Mm-hmm. I listen to them every morning on my way to work.
Yeah.
Because it helps me be like, ah, fantasy land. I like that.
I totally get that.
So, and I get it.
You know, we have a little bit of different format where we, I don't know, I almost think it's like a daily show, but we're not lying to you. You know, where you're trying to make the news, and it's bad news. A lot of it is really bad news. It's things that you go, how do you make COVID sort of tolerable, where you're not just yelling at people about getting vaccinated or saying that, oh, this is all nonsense, or like, how do you make that entertaining? And people get, even will get upset with us, will get messages like, enough, I don't want to hear COVID anymore.
Turn off the radio. I don't have to tell you. Like, what else is going on?
But they can't get away. Like, no one, there's nowhere to go. So, you know, I feel bad for those people because they can't turn on the news. If it's on, the news is the news. So one, sometimes they want to know what's going on, but they want it to be a little more tolerable, a little more fun.
Palatable. Yeah.
Can you make this, can you at least get a chuckle out of a bad situation? That's what I like about doing this, is you can make, you know, obviously we're telling you what's going on, but it's also fun, even though it's really depressing, awful things.
I say this every day of my life. If we're not laughing, we're crying. Mm-hmm. I say that all the time. How could you make a joke about Afghanistan? Me not making a joke is not helping anybody. You know what I mean? It's not Let's at least try to enjoy or try to like have a moment of levity in all of this sadness. And like a lot of what we're dealing with now is like it's really heavy. Everything is really heavy. Disease, you know, wars, people hating each other, unemployment, like inflation, like these things are heavy. Like sometimes what you need is a little bit of a laugh. You need that for your own health. And we need as much health as we can get right now because there's a goddamn pandemic. It's not going anywhere.
An endemic. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. The whole situation stinks. I'm really upset about it. I'm worried about, I'm waking up the past few nights with my heart beating out of my chest.
Not because of the vaccine.
Well, that's what I thought initially.
I just told him it's not because of that.
But
you're stressed about your job, man. Yeah. Obviously, that's what it is.
It stinks. And, you know, just when you think you're start, maybe you'll get ahead a little bit, make some progress. It's just like such a major, major blow to, I mean, not only the fact that it's a shorter show. Well, I was going to say, I guess not the fact that I'm even making less money, but it's a shorter amount of time.
Less reps.
Yeah. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. We used to joke that, I mean, Johnny calls the 2-hour show the super short. His prep page that he makes is, we'll just, you know,
BS
for a few hours, take some calls and call it a night. Okay, that's every night now for us. That's every night. So we do an opening segment, we'll do a short news segment, take some calls, wrap it up. That's the show. I mean, it's tough hearing your boss say, listen, this stinks, and I'm sorry, but if you want to walk away, I won't be mad at you.
That's heavy.
That is really heavy.
Because that's like, you know what that's like.
It's saying, you know,
we don't need you.
Right.
And you feel it. It's not even like you think it, it's you know it.
He says, you know, I wouldn't want to lose you. I'm glad that you're here, but I understand if you don't want to be here anymore.
He's breaking up with you, man.
But I have nowhere to go right now. Yeah. So it stinks if I'm going to have to move, pick up my life and move and go somewhere else. And that would really be, it's scary. Some people could do that really easy where they're able to just pick up and go.
I
have some of my friends that are able to just, you know, peace out. But man, I've never lived anywhere else. So I'm terrified of that.
I think
concept.
Everyone should. I mean, I say that from a point of privilege, obviously, even though that word is, you know, oversaturated in everything that we do. But I am privileged in that way where I was able to do that 5 different times, you know. Yeah. And I think that everybody should. Yeah, I know not everybody can, but in the event that you do have the funds, in the event that you don't have a child at 17 years old, in the event that whatever, that it's the right timing, I would encourage everybody to get up and go to some place where you don't have any contacts, maybe one to get started, and you have to just make your own way. Because I'm telling you, nothing has built more confidence in my life than doing that. And I've done it 5 times, but knowing that you can do it, because you go, how am I going to, and when you figure it out and you find a way, you're like, dude, I can do anything. I can do anything. If I can go to a place and not know anybody, and 2 years later, I got a party and I can invite 10 people, that's effing awesome. Like when I first came to Florida, I knew zero people. Zero. No one. Not anyone. I had no contacts. I met my roommate the day I moved in. I didn't know anybody. And for a year, I still didn't really have any friends. I was spending every weekend alone. Actually, I wasn't. Thankfully, Johnny's show at the time was on Saturday nights. So that was my going out, right? And then as I started making friends, thankfully, it just moved during the weekdays. And now, I mean, like, the fact that I had a birthday party this last May and, like, almost, like, 20 people showed up.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I can't even tell you the last time I had 20 friends. Like, it's insane. So from having zero and those were, like, my best friends. Like, those, I didn't invite a lot of people who were, like, peripheral friends or acquaintances, because then it would have been even more. But the fact that I have, like, 20 people that I really cared about and all of them showed up is incredible.
So, yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
It was a really cool thing for me to have everybody there, so.
Yeah, I'm just not, I don't really like people that much. I'm very picky with people, so it would be tough for me, I think, to make friends. Not impossible. I'm sure it would be fine. You know, I'm a grown-up. I'm a grown man, so I would be fine. But just the concept is scary, and I was talking to a friend of mine who just moved from Tampa to Daytona, which is not that far away, yeah. I mean, other coast. But I was telling her what was going on, and she was like, stay. She's like, stay where you're at. You have a solid friend group there. Just stay. And I'm thinking,
why? Why?
Because she hates it. She doesn't have any friends in Daytona. She's lonely. And
how long has she been there?
Not very long.
Less than a year.
Months. She's been there.
Okay. Well, sorry. That's growing pains.
Right. Like, right. Sure.
Get over it.
Sure.
She's pushed through.
Yeah. No. You're absolutely right. But it's a scary concept, knowing that, you know, even if you watch Howard Stern's movie, the Private Parts movie, he's driving across the country from job to job, yep. And you know, this is just part of the deal. So I don't know what's going to happen with that interview. It's a news talk station, which I don't know if I'll be a great fit at, but maybe. I mean, if they'll let me do, it's my understanding that program director is a big fan of what The Bone is.
Okay.
So maybe I can nudge him in a little bit of direction to bring a little part of The Bone over to Tulsa.
Yeah.
But we'll see. You know, I would stink to leave, but that's just the reality.
It's
so,
like, I wish you luck, but I also hope you fail, like, because I want to keep you here for my personal, you know, selfish reasons. But I want you to be happy. Like, I want you to be happy. I want you to feel fulfilled. I want you to be able to feel like you can obviously support yourself, and that I don't like financial surprises every month. You know, it's rough to be like, am I going to be able to make rent? I've been there. Am I going to be able to pay for this? And I know you got a lot of things going on with, you know, friends getting married, mm-hmm. and you have to attend, and it's not cheap and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I want nothing but the best for you. You know that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And yeah, it is stressful. I mean, I'm not trying to make this a pity party, but, you know, even little stuff like, you know, I got student loans that are starting.
That's
not little. That Papa Joe was supposed to take care of for me, but they didn't do it. So that's going to start up in January. And it's little things like, okay, so they use your tax return, your 1099, or not 1099, your W-2 as a basis of how much to charge you, because I can't pay them $700 a month. I can't do that. So they have income contingent plans. And it's not like I'm a bum. You know what I mean? It'd be one thing if I was a bum, but I work two jobs.
Yeah.
You know, I was working 60 hours a week. Now I'll still be working 60 hours a week, but I'll only be paid for 44 of them.
Yeah.
Which sucks. But that's just the way it is. Yeah. If I want to put out some sort of quality product, you have to sacrifice sometimes. So my time won't be compensated. But, you know, it's just scraping by when you're working 60 hours a week is tough. And I know I'm not the only one in that situation. There are a lot of people that are doing that, but it's tough. So then when I get my return and I turn it into student loan people, you know, mine are federal, so I have to, it's some sort of government organization. They're going to go, well, you're making this amount of money. And I go, I was, but now I'm only, you know, I've got my hours cut in half here. But according to my taxes.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be on the hook. I don't know how much that's going
to
be.
Listen to me. I've been dealing with student loans and deferring them for a long time, just talk to people. Get someone on the phone. They'll work with you. You're not the first person. You think someone that hasn't lost a job in a year, like, they deal with this all the time. They'll maybe send you another form to fill out or something like that, but you'll figure out a way around it, I promise you.
Yeah, I know.
They'll work with you. They have to. I don't have it. What are you going to do?
It's my understanding. I don't know if this is true. 813-693-2124 if you dealt with student loans. But it's my understanding, even if they say you owe us $300 and you send them $5, you still are making an effort to pay. And you can just say, this is what I have.
I'm telling you, get a representative on the phone so you can actually ask some questions. Yeah. They will walk you through stuff.
Yes.
And they always do.
Don't do the thing, and I learned this, don't avoid them.
No.
Because you can't. The only way you get out of those is if you die.
Yeah.
They tell you that.
Don't avoid them. Don't avoid them, because that will mess with your credit and stuff.
And your tax return, yeah, all that
talk
stuff.
To them, because they'll be like, well, we do have it for this. Perfect. Send that form over, baby. Thank you so much. Appreciate you. Mm. You
know. So I'll just close out this discussion by saying hmbradio.com/donate. And the hmbradio.com/store. If you've been thinking about getting a hoodie or a t-shirt or a hat, now would be a great time to do it. That's all I'm going to say. I'll leave it there. I wanted to wrap up real quick. It's another sports thing.
Oh, wow.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Tampa Bay Rays just won this is the most wins they've ever had in a season. This is the best team they've ever had on paper. So they're going to have home field throughout the playoffs now. They won the AL, so that's awesome. Earlier this week, the Rays owner had a plan. He was going to... Did you ever hear the thing where they were going to split the season with Montreal?
Yes.
So he was going to reward the fans here by putting a sign in Tropicana Field during the playoffs talking about trying to nudge people to get on board with this split season plan. And I wanted to know your opinion of it, of how you feel about it, just as an outsider with no real sports interest.
Yeah.
But, you know, just knowing that, hey, we want to, it's like saying that I want to sleep with other people. I hope you're cool with that type of thing.
Yeah, absolutely not. I mean, I would think that you want a team to represent your city and only your city, right? You don't.
That's the deal.
In another city, and not only another city, but another country.
Another country, yeah. Especially Canada.
Ew.
Gross. The failed terror state of Canada. But he ended up saying that he's not going to do that now. It's too late. He already, you know, announced that he wanted to sleep with other people to his girlfriend. Right. So I don't know how the fans are going to react. And it's a shame because this team deserves all the accolades. I saw the city is, I don't know if the city did it or if the Rays did it, but they had this puny little sign out in front of the Metropolitan Building or City Hall or whatever it was saying, go Rays. And like, that's all the marketing that the Rays have done.
You better learn how to say that in French, bitch.
Yeah, no kidding. It's really depressing. The city deserves better than this. The team deserves better than this. I don't know. At this point, just take them to Montreal. Just go. I hope they win the World Series here first.
Yeah.
Because I want that shirt.
Uh-huh.
With the I'm just going to call them, because you know, I know you don't know these names. The football trophy.
I know Lombardi.
The Lombardi.
Okay, let me go through it.
I want the hockey trophy.
Stanley Cup,
and I want the World Series trophy.
A baseball bat.
I think it's the commissioner's trophy. Sure. I don't know that one either, to be honest. But you get the two Stanley Cups, hopefully the two Lombardis, and then up front in the triangle, you get the World Series commissioner's trophy.
Let's go, and with Tampa!
Even though Tampa Bay is hack and I hate it. But if he got all those trophies, you got to go with Tampa Bay. And that's just so want gross. That shirt. And then the Rays can frick off.
And I'll miss them.
I'll miss them. I love the team. But enough with this split with Montreal thing. The Sternberg has really just blown this whole thing. You should have taken a lesson out of Vinix, the guy who owns the Lightning's playbook. You go down to Tampa, it's Lightning everything. Down here, they got a puny sign that in front of City Hall saying, go Rays. There's no... You wouldn't even know the team played here.
Yeah,
in the city.
I wouldn't at all.
Mm-mm. It's pathetic. So take them to Montreal, but win the World Series first. Go Rays and 813-693-2124 and hmbradio.com/donate. Just one more time. Everyone have a great week. Anna, thank you.
Bye.
We'll talk to you soon. Home_made_man and Anna Hummel Radio. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is next, followed by the Indie Circuit. If you're listening on podcasts, thanks a bunch. Please do tell a friend about it. 5-star rating on iTunes, very important. That takes a second, really helps us out, gets us up into algorithms. I think that's it. Johnny B Show, 8 to 10 on the bone, and Bubble Love Sponge on Twitch.
Yeah, 6 to 10 a.m.
All right. See you later. Bye.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.